So I'm going to do something I don't usually do, which is to actually break this down by verses and groupings to talk about this passage. It's a small passage. There's a lot going on that I think is useful to us in our lives. And so we're going to start with the first third and then move to the middle and then finish up in the end. But first, let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm actually going to start here with the fourth sentence. Don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Okay, so this is a pretty simple, straightforward moral thing, but why is it here? And especially why is it here contrasted with the next sentence, instead be filled with the Spirit? Who remembers the story of Pentecost? Anyone? Who here has heard of Pentecost before? Excuse me? Okay, good. Nodding heads. Thank you, yes. If nowhere else, at the top of your bulletin, where it says we are on the 12th Sunday of Pentecost. So if you have one word associated with Pentecost, what was it? Shout it out. Spirit. Right? So the Spirit came down in Pentecost and filled all of the Christ followers in Jerusalem with the ability to work miracles, to do things like speak in other tongues to one another, to all the people from outside of Israel who were there visiting and spoke different languages. Do you remember how the other people reacted to them? Anyone? You must be drunk, right? Do you remember that now? That they said to Paul and everyone else, you must be drunk. And Paul responds to them, no, it's 8 in the morning. Of course we're not drunk. Proving once and for all that Paul was never a Big Ten football fan living on the West Coast. Right? So the message in that is, you know, maybe there's something to this. Maybe being filled with the Spirit and drunkenness look the same. Maybe that is true. And if any of you have sat down with several thousand of your closest friends on a Saturday afternoon when your team is winning, maybe there is something in that. Maybe you can sense and remember the euphoria as everyone around you is cheering on your team and they're going on and they're scoring touchdowns and there's nothing but joy all around you as you high-five one another in the stands and you make expressions of love. And who among us, fueled by Andre Spumante, has not kissed Dave Caputo in the fourth quarter of the Harvard-Yale game? Who among us? And so there's that joy and euphoria that we associate with that kind of drunkenness. But of course, drunkenness has a different side, right? That you are drunk and you are euphoric, and then suddenly Nebraska runs back 2 punts for touchdowns, and you're feeling very differently about the world. No longer filled with hope, you see despair in front of you and yet another disappointing season, and then you get surly and maybe steal the opposing team's trumpets, you know. And do things that you're not proud of. And furthermore, you know, as the night goes on, maybe that darkness gets seriously dark, and you do things you really wish you had not done later on. Maybe you get into fights or get into car crashes. And the next morning, are you motivated to go out and do a lot of stuff? I mean, you don't have to admit it if you've ever been there. I've been there. But in general, the next morning, you are not feeling full of vim and vigor, right? And so this is where we have the difference between the euphoria that comes from the Holy Spirit and the euphoria that comes from drunkenness that's being contrasted here, because the euphoria that comes from the Holy Spirit that we saw on Pentecost, all these people were filled with the ability to communicate to one another. And that was the start of their stories, because from there they went on into foreign lands to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. They said, in this Holy Spirit, I recognize a joy and a euphoria that I must share with one another. And on top of that, I recognize the power to share this with other people. I am going to go out and do these things because of the Holy Spirit. And so think back to those things that have brought you joy, true joy in the world. Maybe you, like me, are filled that way and moved to tears every Easter when we sing, Jesus Christ is risen again. Christ the Lord is risen today. Maybe for you, like for me, seeing a hungry person filled with food brings you that joy and that moving inside of you that says we must do more. maybe I'm alone, but when the Obergefell decision came down and there was marriage equality from sea to shining sea, I was filled with that joy because I feel in my heart love for one another and all the loved children of God. And maybe you, like me, or maybe I'm the only one that witnesses someone saying for the first time, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I don't wish to live the way I have been living. I wish to live in a new way full of resurrection. I'm filled with joy and moved to tears. And this is what we're looking at in the first part of this letter. This is the wisdom coming in of saying, take advantage of every opportunity. Because we live in evil times. We live in times where people seek to stamp out love and bring out despair, where people suffer because they think they're all alone in a world, where people are hungry and feel unloved, where people suffer from war and uncertainty. And the message to us in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that came after Christ's resurrection is that we need not be slaves to fear. We need not fear death, for Jesus Christ is firstborn from the dead. And given that, we have choices. We have opportunities. There are things that we can do and things that we can say to make this a better place for love, to make this a place that God wishes to come into in God's kingdom on this earth, to bring about the justice that Jesus has showed us that we need. And we have these opportunities all around us to be filled with the Spirit and to do those things that lift us up and lift up others and not push them down. But sometimes it's hard to see that. Sometimes the negativity gets into our ears and says, you are not worthy. Sometimes it says, you don't have any choices. This is the way that you are and the way that life is. Sometimes it says, you have failed. You will never achieve the things that you hope to achieve. Sometimes it says, you are not a fit parent. You are not a fit child. Sometimes it says you should be ashamed of yourself and no one wants to see you. And these things affect all kinds of people. No matter what they look like on the outside, all kinds of people have these crushing doubts that sneak up on them when the darkness comes. Which is why I love this letter. Because this letter says something to us in the darkness. It talks about being filled with the Spirit. And as I so often love in the Bible, tells us how to do it. It says, speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Says, make music. Sing praise, be thankful, and sing to one another. Because put yourself in the mind of the last time you had the kind of disagreement that makes you feel anxious for days afterwards. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you had those disagreements that you sort of wake up in the middle of the night 3 days later thinking about? Anyone? Just me? Okay, some people could. Remember how you felt in that moment. Remember all the anxiety that came crashing down, all the second guessing about what you could have said to make it better, all of the things you're convinced the other person is up to thwart you. And then say, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord, and all people will see the salvation of our God. And feel the anxiety drain out of you. And remember the secondary message of that song, which is that as we live every day, we are doing what we think we need to do to prepare the way of the Lord. And as people look on the choices that we make and the decisions that we make and the things that we say, we are reflecting to them what our idea of salvation looks like. We are creating the world where people can say, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means for someone to believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ. and we say to ourselves, I can calmly go forward. I can see now that this other person had an entire life leading up to the moment of disagreement, as I had an entire life leading up to the moment of disagreement. And maybe we disagree, and maybe we get angry, but maybe there's a way I can lift us up in this moment and act in love and truth and not out of fear. And that song opens us up, and that's one of the reasons we sing it. And some of you who are parents, maybe just me, have moments where you're not sure about this endeavor you signed up for. You get frustrated, and you can't believe the way things are going, and it wasn't the way you thought it would be. And that's hard. But sometimes you could do things like sing, Halle, Halle, Halle. Hallelujah, halle, halle, hallelujah, halle, halle, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And now people are smiling. Instead of being anxious and angry, maybe at this moment your child's anxious and angry and is yelling at you to stop singing, but that's okay. That I can take. I can bounce that off of me and smile instead. And this is what this message is saying, is in songs, we have a connection to the Holy Spirit. In songs, our emotions are opened up and we can do these things and express these things that are hard to say, that we otherwise would block off from one another. And so walk around singing songs to one another, bringing smiles to your face and to the faces of others. And then maybe you are reminded that you are a loved child of God, and that you are able to show and share that love with other people. And in that, be filled with the Holy Spirit and share the hope of the Holy Spirit with everyone around you. And for that, you can give thanks. At the end of the day, it's sometimes hard to be thankful for things. It's hard to see all the good things in the world, but sing a few songs before bed and see if in that moment there is a joy that encapsulates the things you can be thankful for making signs at grandma across the room, for singing songs, for dancing, for being able to feel joy in that moment, for a smile someone extended to you with no pressure to reciprocate, for a morsel of food shared, for an expression of love given. And let it remind you that as you are thankful for all of these things from God and from other people, you can be that sign to others in the world too. And those are the stakes in the world, to say, how can I feel the Spirit so that I can share the Spirit with one another and act wisely rather than foolishly? So sing a song. Amen.